a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 8:40 p.m. Central Standard Time. It is the Harsin era, officially, and you are tuned in to the Auburn Twitter's own, only official podcast of record, the Orange and True Podcast. Harbored by your friends at collegeandmagnolia.com, it is I, Drew Crows, and at Center Crow 2 on Twitter, at Center Crows, where you find me on Venmo. If you have any complaints, that's where you need to reach out. Joining me tonight, as always, the rumor monger, Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for staring at 0-2 in basketball.
Yikes.
Also, via the magic of Skype and the internet, through the ether, a man who knows all about ether, the AU chief.
So.
Also on the line today, we've got James Jones.
Good evening.
And the harbinger of good hoops tidings, the ghost of hoops Miss President, Dr. Will McLaughlin.
Free Sharif.
I think that's – I'm just going to call you ghost of hoops Miss President forever. I don't care if it's Christmas. I mean, technically it's Christmas. Two more days. We got Christmas and then we have the – Epiphany officially, but we're gonna go with hoops Miss President forever.
My tree's still up, it's still Christmas.
Time is I don't a know flat if we're losing games.
Crow, time is a flat circle. It's Christmas somewhere.
Oh, that's true, man.
Aren't all circles flat?
Mind blown.
I mean, I guess.
Man, we're gonna have to, if that speech is correct, then this podcast exists again and again and again and again. And that is a fate worse than death in some ways. Tonight, we've got show notes, which means I can tell you what's coming up on the show tonight. We will talk somewhat in depth about Auburn's bizarre football-like substance that took place on January 1. We will talk a little basketball. We might even ask some people about their opinion on the new football coach. We might even, by the time we're recording this podcast, there have been no hirings announced or even rumors of hirings announced in terms of filling out the coaching staff. Maybe by the time we get done, knowing us, that will be announced, maybe in full. So that's the hope, is that we record long enough that we can break that news live to tape. So, Ryan, why did you put the Citrus Bowl on our show notes? Because I really don't want to talk about it.
You know, it's there. I mean, we can at least acknowledge that it happened and move on, right?
Do we have to?
You said it was a football-like substance. I prefer to think of it as, like, football flavoring. It's not actually football, but...
Man. You mean, like, banana-flavored candies?
It was about as pleasing to the... eyes as banana flavored candies are to the mouth, so yeah. I'll take that.
I'm gonna go on to a quick tangent on that. Do you know that banana flavoring is like comes from a gland in a beaver's butt?
Well, that's also the fake raspberry as well, is the beaver gland flavor.
This is
excellent.
Beaver Which gland, means... beaver butt gland is what this football game reminded me of. To go back,
you're not a fan of beaver there, Crow?
It's just fine, sure. Yeah,
big beaver guy here.
Not really with a butt though.
I shot a lot of beavers.
Chief, I thought you were a Brennan Cox fan.
I am. I love Cox.
Bo Nix had a very Bo
got
Nix
to do with beavers.
Yeah,
just throwing it out there. I just wanted to refresh the listeners.
Bo Nix had a very Bo Nix game. In this game,
in that he was statistically not bad, but. Looked really bad.
Yeah, they were visually not his best game. But again, it's difficult to judge a quarterback behind an offensive line that is as hapless and Keystone Cops-like as Auburn's offensive line has been.
That's a great metaphor. analogy.
Keystone Cops?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and even when the line, you know, maybe blocked the four people that were in front of them, we would, you know, have our veteran running back completely ignore a blitzer on a third and long.
Yeah.
It's almost like they only practiced about 4 days before this whole thing happened.
But this is true, Chief, and that's a good point. If every game didn't look like they had only practiced 4 days before it this season.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good point.
This game looked a lot like almost every game we played, except...
We had like two games where we didn't look...
Except the LSU game.
The only game, only way this game looked different than most of the games this year is Bo Nix attempted 42 passes in this game.
What's different there? He did that like most of the games this year.
Well, I think Gustav Malzahn probably wouldn't have let that happen in the Citrus Bowl. I think there'd be a better chance that Sean Shivers would walk out with like 3 inches shorter than Bo Nix take 42 dropbacks.
Yeah, man.
There were 43 passes because what we don't have here in the show notes for behind the scenes is that Cord Sandberg was 0 for 1.
Oh, right.
No, Cord Sandberg was 1 for 1.
1 for 1.
For 8 yards. And a higher yards per attempt than Bo Nix. I don't know why he didn't
come. Cord Sandberg came in, just put a little thing on film so he can now transfer as the news is broken today.
I got to put him in the players leaving list.
Yeah, yesterday he announced he was transferring as a graduate transfer, which I'm hopeful that he gets a start somewhere. I don't know where that is going to be. I don't know what it is he's hoping to accomplish, but I wish him all the best.
Just maybe he's a little bit of a different scenery.
Maybe he should consider Arizona State.
Yeah, maybe he should. Do they need a 32-year-old quarterback?
Yeah, I think he's transferring to the Champions Tour for PGA.
I mean, would he be – like, I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't watch this sport. Full stop. But I watch Auburn.
I used to.
But I know that Ryan, I know you, and I know James does and possibly will, like – you guys watch 3 or 4 games a Saturday. Could you think of a league or a place where Cord Sandberg could walk into a starting position?
In FBS?
In FBS.
I don't know if he would be handed the starting position, but I think he could compete at like Akron or maybe follow our old buddy down to ULM.
Well, where is he from originally? Florida.
So you're saying like his options to start would be to go to the 3 worst schools in FBS, Akron, ULM, and
well, if he wants the best chance to start, sure.
UMass.
Yeah. Well, he could do the reverse Grant Loy and go to Bowling Green.
Right.
Don't wish that on him.
Hey, they're both gone. I think
I didn't realize that.
Please tell me they both got fired. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I hope they didn't get fired because I will enjoy betting against them again next year. Mm.
I can think of a school in Florida.
He's the head coach of Bowling Green University.
Oh, you think he's going to go to USF? Is that what you're saying?
Sure, why not? Yeah, they need everything. Mm. Why not? I don't know. I mean, he's a Sarasota Bradenton kid or, you know, FAU. I don't know. I'm just throwing.
FIU, FAU.
FAU.
Look, FAMU. You know who has a ton of success with transfer quarterbacks? It's Oklahoma.
It's true.
And he could go win a Heisman there next year.
Lincoln might be looking at and looking for him.
Lord.
The last time a guy from this state.
From Oklahoma, and we'll send him Cord Sandberg.
The last time the guy that probably should have been starting left a school in this state and went to Oklahoma, he might should have won the Heisman.
Should Cord? Are you saying Cord should have been starting this year?
Well, yes. Somebody on this podcast. Yes, Ryan S. Starrett. The answer is yes.
I say that because I'm a Cord Sandberg fan. Crow says that because he just hates Bo Nix.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I am hypercritical of Bo Nix, I will say.
So is it Bo Nix's fault that the running backs went 16 carries for 29 yards?
No.
That's rough.
Well, it isn't like Northwestern went into this game having giving up a lot of rushing yards.
What have we been doing in recruiting?
That was a joke, by the way.
Yeah. They gave up 350 to Ohio State.
What have we been doing in recruiting for the last 4 years?
Wide receivers.
And running backs.
Just wide receivers.
And running backs.
And tight ends the last couple of years.
Think about how many –
every running back that Auburn has that took a carry this season was a four-star or better. Every single one.
Hmm.
Mark Anthony Richards is a four-star or better. Sean Chivers is a four-star. Tank Bigby was a five-star.
Well, Tank looked like a five-star.
Is DJ a three-star?
I think he was a four-star.
Was Shivers really a four-star?
Chose Auburn over Georgia, Baylor, and TCU.
Blows my mind that Sean Shivers – was he a four-star athlete? Like, just the size.
He was an athlete. He was a four-star athlete.
Okay. Yeah. The size just makes me – like, I can't believe he was a four-star.
He was a four-star athlete. His high school highlight tapes are very Noel Devine-esque as well.
According to Rivals, DJ Williams was a three-star, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, but his uncle bumps him up another star because it's, you know.
That's true.
So, sorry, DJ Williams, who got carries in only this game, if I remember correctly. Brought the average down.
Hmm. Well, you know what?
So recruiting-wise, I would say running back not been the problem.
Well, yeah, are we recruiting? I don't know.
Maybe the guys in front of the running back.
Is there a reason we're getting these guys? Because nobody else actually wants them.
Because the blue-chip ratio of running back at Auburn is really good. The blue-chip ratio of offensive line is 20%. According to Justin Ferguson, who wrote that amazing piece, if you aren't subscribed to the Auburn Observer, you probably should. He wrote a piece about the blue chip ratio just of offensive line recruiting, and Auburn's at 20%. And Alabama, for instance, is in the 80s.
So what you're telling me is that out of five starting offensive linemen, one of them's a blue chip?
Maybe, yeah.
And that was there was one that was a blue chip, and that was Nick Broms.
Mm.
That was it.
Keyword was, because he was not there this week.
Yep.
Yeah. And Nick Broms, and, you know, this is not necessarily saying he's a terrible player, but he's going pro in something other than sports. So that's not great for your one blue chip.
Mm-hmm. And the best.
Especially if you look at, you know, Ferg also did a breakdown of the blue chip ratio for each offensive line under Malzahn, and you can go ahead and guess what the best two seasons were. There were two seasons over 60%, and it's pretty obvious what the two were.
2013 and 2017, correct?
That is correct.
I'll be.
Oh, man.
Chief knows recruiting.
Looks like that's how you beat Alabama and win the West.
Just call me nerd from now on, boys.
I will say I've been watching a lot more high school football in the last year than ever before because it's broadcast on television here. And
I figure that's like prime time on your main channels in Texas.
It's on Fox Sports Southwest. It's on your regional Fox. And it's on like three or four different radio stations, though. That's the other issue. You can't like drive without listening to it. All right. Let's keep going.
Yeah, that was way too much football talk.
Yeah, it's a lot of gross.
Well, there's trivia questions about football.
Okay, well, let's do some coaching rumors. The coaching rumors, Kevin Steele will not return. Yeah, probably. I would go out on a limb and say, I can't really go on a limb because Nerd already did. He already did it on the Twitter. So, yeah, I would imagine most of the offensive staff will not return either.
I'm just going to guess.
Have we actually heard about Chad Morris?
That's true. As far as we know, Chad Morris is still the OC. What a coup that would be for Chad Morris if you could figure out a way to...
A former SEC head coach is your OC? What could go wrong?
Keep getting them checks, Chad Morris.
Well, he will for a few years.
Guys,
like 3 years.
The buyout? We haven't talked about how Auburn fans bitched and moaned about Gus Malzahn's buyout. Have you seen what the buyout was at Texas for their staff?
Oh, I can only imagine.
Oh yeah, the whole staff. It's what is it?
It's 34.
Like, it's like $34 million. Yeah.
Are they keeping the staff?
No, they fired everybody. They fired the whole staff.
Jesus, oil man.
$34 million United States dollars, and that's the thing. Like Auburn gets just like talked all kinds of noise about. Like, oh, how crazy is it that Auburn spent all that money during the pandemic? And no one's brought up that Texas dropped 34 large on firing a bunch of coordinators. And as Spencer Hall pointed out on Twitter, the Longhorn logo is owned by the athletic department and the university doesn't get to use it without permission. That's what that university is about. Not, and we get made fun of. We get talked like we care too much about sports.
They jet-gated their coach.
Legitimately, they had to have. Twice. They jet-gated him with Urban. And then they jet-gated him with the guy they actually hired.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the difference, as pointed out by Dr. Carvalho on the Twitter, is that they must have talked to Bill Battle and Nick Saban and didn't go behind their back too.
Sure,
as we did, but still, you know,
it's kind of like. James is probably the only NBA fan on this podcast that gets this. You know how like. Every year, it turns up that it's like free agency period starts and guys get signed within 3 seconds with these intricate contracts that they've already agreed to. You're like, wait a minute, how did these guys sign this contract in the first minute of free agency? Well, because they cheated, and right. No one cares.
Well, and it's kind of the same deal where coaches can say that. Oh, I haven't talked to anybody from school X. It's because the search firm, and this is what search firms do.
They're a buff.
Search firm reaches out to an agent because the agent, if a coach has one, which most do, Tony Elliott apparently is trying to get one. Every coach has a list of schools like, hey, if this opens, ask me. If I really want to jump to that right now, if I'm, you know, these are the list of jobs that I am interested in. And I'm sure Brian Harsin had a list of schools in the SEC that said, if any of these open, I am interested, please attempt to get me an interview.
I bet most schools are like, most coaches are like, I want any SEC West non-Mississippi job.
Yeah.
I think Harsin just wanted any non-Mountain West job.
Yeah, that's what I think. He probably was just like anything.
No, because apparently he would have been like – apparently, from what I read, Arizona like was there very interested. He was not interested. So then like he was just ready to
– He's just scared of Herm Edwards.
Tempe's great.
He don't want to go to the Pac-12. He wanted to go to the Southeast.
Chief, are you doing a bit?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you.
Tempe is great. Or Tucson's great, where Arizona is. Tucson's great.
Tucson is actually, from what I hear, very nice, but Arizona doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
Which is why they hired Jed Fish, who had buyout and nobody wanted him.
They were like, what has happened to Arizona? They were like one of the biggest basketball brands out there, and then
they spent a lot of money on Kevin Sumlin.
Yeah. After spending a lot of money on Rich Rod.
Yeah.
And then
they're two buyouts in now.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate.
There where Auburn would be had Malzahn been fired after 15. Where you're like, whoa, we just spent on this guy and now we're spending on this guy. And that's what I think people don't talk about. Like, oh, we should have fired him after 15. Well, financially, it kind of would have been a drag to fire him after 15. Oh, his buyout wasn't as big as it is now. It still is. That's a lot of contracts you're eating back to back.
Yeah.
All right. Rhino, let's do some trivia.
Gonna make you guys do the work on this one.
As per usual,
some nice wide receivers leaving the program. You know, Eli Stowe, Seth Williams, Anthony Schwartz, all going to the NFL or just not Auburn next year. Tell me, who are the top 10 players in receptions in Auburn history? If you can just name them, I'll tell you what place they were in.
Frank Sanders.
Frank Sanders is number 9.
Terry Beasley.
Terry Beasley is number 3. Sorry, number 4.
Ben Ovamanu.
No.
Ryan Davis.
Number 1.
Carson Bailey.
Ooh, Carson Bailey, number 3. Sammy Coates, no, not on the list.
Courtney Taylor.
Yeah.
Courtney Taylor, number 2. All right, y'all got that 4.
Is this career?
This is career receptions.
Darvin Adams.
Darvin Adams, number 11.
T-Zack.
Was in the top 10 before this season. No T-Zack.
Prisha Rodriguez.
Man, y'all are really reaching when there's some easy ones on the table.
That was a
Prisha Rodriguez.
That was a big joke. He was my leading receiver on one of the NCAAs, though.
We had a Prisha Rodriguez and Rodriguez Smith on the same team.
Hey, Rod Smith, number 12.
Now we're talking.
Wow.
Anthony Schwartz.
Anthony Schwartz, number 10 in career receptions at Auburn University.
Wow, that's crazy.
Seth Williams,
number 7.
Eli Stove.
Oh, yeah.
Eli Stove beat Seth Williams, number 6 all-time in career receptions.
How many are we lacking still?
Just number 8. No, number 5 and number 8.
Give us a hint on number 5.
Number 5 played from 93 to 97.
That's before my time.
Tyrone Goodson.
There it is.
Yeah. Is Tim Carter on there?
Tim Carter is not on here. Number 8 was on the national championship team.
Yeah, Emory Blake.
Emory Blake.
There you go.
Yeah.
Austin, Texas.
I mainly wanted to bring this up to say that for all the hype that we gave Seth Williams before the season, and deservedly so, he's top 10 in receptions, yards, and touchdowns at Auburn. Eli Stove beat him in career receptions.
Eli Stove played for a million years.
So we can conservatively list the quarterbacks that Eli Stove caught a pass from.
It's easier to list which ones he didn't catch a pass from.
For sure, Jeremy Johnson, Sean White,
John Franklin
III.
Yeah. Jarrett Stidham.
Malik Willis.
Maybe Malik may not have gotten him one.
Maybe Court Sanford.
And Bo Nix.
Yep.
Maybe Woody Barrett.
You think? Oh my God. You think Eli has some opinions on which one of those quarterbacks is any good? We should get him on the pod. Eli, which quarterback, if you took balls from, is the best one?
We could probably phrase that a little better.
Sure.
Yeah.
I bet he would say Woody Barrett.
Yeah. Probably. Kent State legend Woody Barrett.
Or
y'all know he's transferring again.
He's still eligible.
Well, yeah. This year was free.
Was he in the same class as Eli?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. I went back and looked at that. Yeah, he was. Or he was the year before. He is transferring away from Kent State. I forget where he's going now, but I remember he's in the portal again. Sure.
Joey Gatewood should transfer back. That's my opinion. Come on back. How did Joey
get Malik Willis back?
I watched zero Kentucky football this year, which is a point of pride.
Including when we played them?
We played them. So I did watch a little.
Since then, you saw
Seth Williams just absolutely punk that one guy.
That's true. I did watch that game. So I watched 4 quarters of Kentucky football. After that, how did Joey Gatewood play? Did he play?
Not great.
Not well.
His passing numbers for the year. Did 17 of 36, 109 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception.
Yeah, he did start a few games.
3 yards per attempt.
Yeah, he was kind of in and out of the starting lineup for them.
Mostly out.
They had kind of the quarterback carousel. Although I saw Terry Wilson is entering the portal, so that's another QB in the transfer portal. He may actually get to start next year. I don't know.
I'm going to throw this out there. We need more stars because he was a 4-star recruit.
Was he, though?
That's what I'm saying.
That's the point.
There need to be 10 stars, not 5.
The dude
because
did not.
Bo Nix was a 5-star quarterback, and also Trevor Lawrence was a 5-star quarterback. And they are not the same.
Well, that's like, why they have the rankings, though. He was not even close to him in the.
No one goes, oh, you know, he's a 96 on the 24/7 composite. No one says that. They say, I'm a 5-star quarterback. So I want there to be more stars because somebody needs to be. There needs to be a better delineation of, okay, Bo Nix is really a high 5 versus a low 5, or whatever. You could say, oh, he's a 7-star. Trevor Lawrence is a 10.
You're always just going to have human error involved, though. I mean, that's.
I think Crow went out to Texas and got used to having 8 classifications of football.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we just now got 6A a couple years ago. We've been doing 5A Division 1, 5A Division 2 forever.
Oh, my God.
Well, for years, there was no classification. It was just the little schools and, you know, some like 8,000 student mammoth Metroplex school.
Yeah. If you played 11-man football, you played in the same division up until like the 70s. Then they started doing the classifications, but they never got above 5A literally until like 2010. And then they just now started doing a 6A. So you'd be a 5A school and there'd be 8,000 kids in it, and there'd be another 5A school with 2,000 kids. Well, yeah, those are both big schools, but one is 8,000 kids. All right, let's take a quick break, come back, and we'll do a little more coaching rumors. Talk about my favorite coaching rumor and do hoops. You hear that airplane landing on my house? And we're back. 26 minutes, 26 seconds into this delightful podcast. Light, fluffy podcast. Little New Year's listening. Everybody on the Mondayest Monday of Mondays, the Monday after New Year's. Guys, my favorite thing that's happened is the house has been cleaned. Alan Green has somewhat asserted himself as the man, the adult in the room. And what that means is the old way of doing things has passed away. Behold, he's making all things new. And no one has any sources anymore. There's no leaks. All of a sudden.
Yeah, that's great.
All of a sudden, we went from being the school where you could find out anything. Everybody was talking constantly all the time. The boosters knew what was going on, and they would tell you they would have an account on Rivals, and they would be posting inside information. Now, none of that's happening because those dudes have been shut out. This is great for everybody but people hosting a podcast about Auburn sports. But it's great.
Can you imagine if we were paid to make these things up, though?
You know what I'd probably do? I'd probably start saying things a lot like, I'm hearing that maybe a few offensive players might be transferring if some offensive staff members are not retained. Oh, you mean a bunch of nonsense? That could be anything.
Yeah. I'm hearing that Del McGee might be coming to coach here because he once played here and was on a staff here once. And
I'm hearing there are people interested in Del McGee. Yeah, there's a lot of people interested.
I heard we were going to hire Heath Evans, but
well, I know he wants the job. You know,
he's really in shape.
He is really in shape. Doesn't believe in concussions. Seems like a guy you want around.
I've done Ring Fit for 4 straight days. I think that makes me qualified, right?
Hey, man.
I mean, I've heard
Vandy just hired the dude from 24/7. They should just hire a nerd at Auburn.
Yeah, man. Stalk those guys on Twitter.
I would love that to happen, nerd. This is me for you. Hoping that I'm going to manifest that into existence. At AU Nerd, Auburn Recruiting Coordinator. I'll be in charge of going down to Cedar Hill and getting that Oklahoma wide receiver who's transferring.
How about Rambo?
Yeah, he's just from down the road in Cedar Hill, guys. He's from the Chill, as it's called. Might need to go drop off a couple bags. All right, so I just wanted to say that it's nice to be in a place where nobody from other teams can just go on Twitter and see exactly how awful things have gotten at Auburn. Just, it's nice. Thanks, Alan Green, for cleaning up the house. It's a new day, as my 2013 DVD that I found yesterday says. All right. Basketball. So, Will, are we supposed to feel good about losing to Arkansas and Texas A&M?
I mean, no, but especially after what they did Saturday. Yeah, that was one of those games, you know, that Auburn, there were several chances early in that game Arkansas could run away with that game, and Auburn kept battling back. They got the game tied with like 8 minutes to go, and then they started playing like freshmen, like we were expecting, basically, and they just couldn't stop turning the ball over. They couldn't make shots, and Arkansas being the older, more experienced team, they made the plays down the stretch to win the game.
Okay.
I know.
I mean, this is a funny Auburn. This is an Auburn basketball team that's very reminiscent of an NBA team that's like a year away from having a really good draft pick or whatever. Like where you're like, all right, we're just kind of building something. We're going to see how these guys turn into something. We got them on a couple-year deals. But you kind of do want to see home wins still. Like you can't expect these guys, these young guys, to go out and win games like at A&M. That's a pretty tough game to win. But you kind of want to beat Arkansas at home.
It's a little bit different when the jungle's not there. I think I mean, I'm not saying that they would have won the game if the full jungle was there, but definitely would have made a difference. And quite frankly, this first week of SEC play, a lot of road teams have won. So home court advantage is not exactly a thing this year. And it's going to take some time getting used to that for sure.
I was very pleased with the team fighting after what may have been the ugliest basketball first half I've ever watched against A&M and coming back and trying to claw that one back. And I feel bad for my adult son, Justin Powell, getting hurt. I want to know more about that. I want to know if he's going to be playing against Ole Miss on Wednesday. I want to know how's his brain feeling. Like, I haven't heard anything about it. I just know he was hurt.
I saw a video from somebody that he was running backwards and he collided with Stretch. So,
well, I thought he hit his head on the court.
Well, he may have hit Stretch and then hit his head on the court, but he went to the ground after he ran to Stretch. It was like late in the first half, but yeah, he definitely wasn't right, and that's definitely a big concern going into Wednesday, for sure.
Because the team doesn't really, with the transfer of Turbo Jones, if Sharif is not freed today or tomorrow, and Justin Powell is not going to play,
that's Alan Flanagan playing the point for 40 minutes.
Yeah, because. There are 20 minutes in a collegiate basketball half, and he played all 20 of them in the second half against Texas A&M.
Yes, he did.
Or Ryan gets his wish, and he gets Jalen Williams point guard.
Yeah.
Well, look, looking at the stats, that's what he needs to be playing.
So I'm going to have, what, 7 assists in the second half?
7 assists and 2 turnovers. And he only shot the ball 3 times, but.
Yeah.
Point guard, Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
Now, as the guy that has the Jalen Williams fan account, I'm going to say this. Jalen Williams has got to be more selfish, and he's got to look to score more. Taking 3 shots, as good as he is not going to cut it.
And especially 3 threes. Yeah. How often has a center, a starting 5, not taken a single 2 in a game that he didn't get hurt in?
Here's the secret. He's not really a 5.
Yeah, but
you know, well, you're playing him there.
Yeah, but that's on defense more importantly than offense.
But he's good at shooting in the paint.
Sure. But you also got a 3 who is 6'10" with a 7'4" wingspan. So he might also take some more shots in the paint than Jalen Williams.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. That might help.
But Jalen's a lot better at the basket, at least right now.
Do not come on this podcast and slander the God of War.
Yeah. I will slander him for taking a 20'2" or whatever it was.
He's 20. He's 16 years old or whatever. And He's out there.
He's probably 18 at this point.
He's out there trying his best. And by the time this season's over, hopefully he's not on NBA draft radars and we get to have him next year when he's actually like gained some more weight.
Yeah, we get to see maybe a full season of him running the top of the 1-3-1 trap.
Oh, sweet my God, baby was, Moses.
That was my favorite part of that game.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I was the whole.
It's frustrating because Auburn, these were both coin flip games. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the A&M game was just a two score game tied with, what, 2 seconds to go?
Well, ESPN.
But even the A&M or the Arkansas game. You know, I've been doing that post-game win expectancy, which have I explained what that is on the pod yet?
You have not. Go ahead. We got plenty of time.
Post-game win expectancy, really quick, is just taking a look at a couple key stats. Bill Connolly does it for college football, so I kind of used his model. But I'll use the four factors for basketball. And basically just looking at those stats, not the actual score of the game, and determine how likely it was that Auburn would have won that game. So looking at effective field goal percentage, offensive rebounding, turnover rate, and free throw attempts per field goal attempt. And for the Arkansas game, Auburn's post-game win expectancy was 47%. In a game you lose by 12, it shouldn't be that close.
Turnovers.
It was. Yeah, it was just turnovers. I mean, Auburn
had back free throws in the first half.
Auburn outshot Arkansas, like 65% to 56% effective field goal percentage. You should win that game.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10.
Yeah. And, it shouldn't be close.
Yeah. When you turn it over as much as Auburn did, I mean, that gave Arkansas an extra 8 possessions, basically. So, yeah, like that's what we're talking about with a young team being a young team.
And when you don't have actual point guard on your team.
Right.
Like, you turn the ball over a lot. Not only a young team, there's not a guy on your team you recruit to play point. Like,
your three best players, arguably, I know Crow's going to disagree here, but Powell, Flanagan, and Williams had 17 turnovers. That's rough.
I'm going to disagree only because I don't think Jalen Williams has been in your top three this far in the season.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
I think JT Thor has been a better player on both ends of the court.
I think part of it for Jalen too is he gets in foul trouble too much. You seem like you turn around, he's got 2 fouls in the first 4 or 5 minutes, and he just can't ever seem to get in the game at that point for whatever reason. It's frustrating.
I think it's a mistake to play him at the five. And far be it for me to question Bruce, but
would you be starting Stretch?
I guess if you're trying to get your five best players on the floor, that's where he's got to start. But I don't know. I think Thor's probably a better 3-point shooter than him. So I don't guess you put him at the five.
It's only been 22% from three on the year.
Who, Jalen?
Thor. Jalen's been 34%, which respectable.
It's okay. Yeah.
It isn't as hilarious to watch him shoot threes, though.
No.
Thor is this hilarious, like, holy moly, this guy is shooting threes? When he makes it, it's great. Because the guy guarding him was like 6 feet tall. Like, okay. The scarecrow is going to shoot this three. It's going to go in.
It's fun watching him play. I don't think he's suited for the five. I think that's a big problem.
Well, the only guy who on the team who is Stretch. And really, Stretch is the he's the better version of what Horace Spencer was able to give the team in terms of just ultra high energy shot blocking,
sure,
alpha defense. And without it, you come in, you're like, hey, I got 5 fouls and I'm only playing 12 minutes. I'm going to use every single one of these bad boys.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's great for a Horace Spencer or a Stretch Akinbola. You can't start that guy though.
Because
then you lose that whole thing. Now, I will say if Dylan Cardwell steps up, maybe he becomes that, and then you can start Stretch.
But then who do you send to the bench?
You guys are still right, though. So Jalen's been starting at the five, but between Stretch and Cardwell, they've been playing 31 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And those are both centers. So
Cardwell's
of Jalen's 25 minutes a game, he's only playing 9 at the 5.
I'm gonna get really weird right here. Cardwell's butt is gigantic, and
it really is
big dude. And that aspect adds to him looking like a giant baby out
aspect,
there.
Aspect, pun intended.
Yes,
it's phenomenal the level of talent that is on this roster for an Auburn basketball team. I don't want to take that lightly again. Like, we are light years more talented than we were this point 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
At every spot. Bruce is playing, he's still playing 10 guys.
Yeah.
And he's missing maybe his best player.
Yeah.
I think he would play 11 if he had Sharif.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't think any of these guys are not going to play when Sharif.
Who's not earning minutes? Like, Chris Moore is earning minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, it's easy to say, well, one guy is not going to change things the way they've gone, but having a point guard out there to bring the ball off the floor so that just to keep them honest, like, these guys are able, they trap every time somebody has the ball. Everybody we play is doing it. And it's because they know these guys are not that comfortable with bringing the ball up the floor.
Yeah.
Or running the offense. And if we have a guy that is, they have to play more honest, and it can really open things up.
Yeah.
Plus, if we can, you know, add 15 more points a game, that would be pretty sweet.
I would also say Javon Franklin is earning minutes.
Yeah.
And Javon Franklin played super well this week, I think. And, like, to the extent where I was watching the game against A&M, and I was like, I forgot what number he wears, and I'm watching the game on my phone. So it's not like I read everyone's jersey. I'm like, who is Son of a Gun 4? That dude is playing. And then they zoomed in. I was like, okay, yeah, Jay Williams. He's playing his tail off. Like, it was, so he stood out to me in that game for stretches where I was like, where did this guy come from? We need to be giving him more minutes. But I immediately thought to myself, well, who the heck is he going to, like, who's going to sit? Who's he taking minutes from?
And that's the only thing when you play 10, 11 guys. It's like, you got these guys, it's like, oh, they need to play more. Well, then who do you sit?
Because you can't, Devin Cambridge, people want to whine about his offensive game. He's been one of the best defensive players on the team for the last week.
Yeah.
And a half.
Well, yeah, this last week he had a couple of pretty good games, or really good games.
And his defensive box scores and stuff are really good this year. Like, he's not a guy you want to sit just because you need somebody who has played Division I-A college basketball on your defense at some point.
So, one quick thing about Devin Cambridge. Last season, away from Auburn Arena in SEC play, he did not make a single three-pointer. He's off the schneid. He made one finally Saturday. And I feel like once he made that three, he really got engaged in the game, especially late in that game. You know, he had that interception, the steal over there by Buzz Williams, and yeah, he was definitely out of bounds, but considering Buzz Williams was on the court almost the entire game, it cancels out, in my opinion. But yeah,
he was just being a 12 man.
Yeah, for real. And then, you know, he made 5 three-pointers against Arkansas. So, you know, I thought Devin stepped up. And one other guy we haven't mentioned, oh, by the way, who averaged 20 and a half points this week, Jamal Johnson.
Yeah.
Jamal Johnson has really, really stepped up. And I remember Crow in our group chat the other day was like, we really need somebody to step up and start shooting the ball. And Jamal Johnson, there's a chat, and he starts knocking down threes, and they start getting back in the game. But, you know, for a guy that we really didn't know what to expect out of this year after last season, the struggles he had, he's gotten a lot better on defense, and he's knocking down shots. And if he can do that, he's a guy that's going to be a force in this league. And it's a really one of those pleasant surprises that we really don't talk about because we talk so much about Justin Powell now and Flanagan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamal Johnson actually took 27 shots in 2 games this week.
I actually think there's a case to be made that Alan Flanagan is our best player this year and Jamal Johnson is our second best.
You're not going on a huge limb. Alan Flanagan has been a godsend because if he didn't take the quantum leap that he took, I don't know where this offense is. I don't know who's scoring buckets for us.
I don't know where this offense came from. Like, I don't know how he could go from being as, not to be mean, but just abysmal on offense last year to this. I mean, he's going to get his 15 a game. Like, it's going to happen. And you're not going
to
stop him.
I'd like to think he was cheating against Isaac Okoro all summer.
I mean, it could be. Isaac was here.
And I think, you know, last year, if he was starting or if he was the first man off the bench, he is the last scoring option on every lineup he was in last year.
Yeah.
But he does not have that luxury anymore. He needs to be somebody we look to. And I think he knew that going into the off season, and really, really worked at it. I'm proud of him. I'm grateful that we have him, and that there's a fun player named Flanagan again. Because as one of the olds in the crew, Wes Flanagan was one of the first Auburn basketball players I remember. It was Wesley Person, and then it was Flanagan. So it's to me, it's that part's a lot of fun.
Wes played for Tommy Joe Eagle, didn't he? The greatest Auburn coach name ever, by the way.
I believe so. I believe he may have even been on one of Cliff Ellis's first teams.
I think that's right for sure.
Because I want to say Wes was on a team with the governor, Franklin Williams. Pat Burke, I think, was on some of those. And one of my favorite players that never gets talked about anymore is Lance Weems.
If he came along now,
Lance Weems would shoot 10 to 15 threes a game. And he would be averaging at least 20 points. Because it was just, you know, it was a different time. And I believe it was the year after Arkansas won the national title that they came to the Coliseum, and Weems hit, I think, 10 threes in that game and we blew out Arkansas.
104-90.
Now,
yep.
Will, what do we know about this year's Ole Miss team? I'm looking at the show notes right here. And I'll give you a couple of hints. Ryan tells us that Auburn is the number 64 offense in America going against the number 14 defense in America. And that Ole Miss allows a paltry 45.5 EFG. And that's not going to be good for Auburn.
No, it's definitely not. Going into last week's game with Alabama, Ole Miss was the number one scoring defense in the country at the time. Now, granted, their competition was not great, but
they played Letourneau?
Well, don't forget that Kermit has Bruce's number pretty much. We've beaten him
except
once,
last year,
right? Well, we only beat him. We beat him the one time, right? I thought
we swept him last year.
All right,
overtime. The
year we went to the Final Four, they swept us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if they beat us, we got a chance for the Final Four this year.
That's exactly what I hear.
Right. as far as their team. Brian Tyree is gone. It's Devontae Shuler's team now. He's their leading scorer. They have a grad transfer in the front court from Arizona State named Romello White, and he's made quite a big impact on their team this year. He's their leading rebounder. He's also averaging double figures. KJ Buffin's back. I feel like KJ Buffin has big games against Auburn every time he plays us. So Brian mentioned toss-up game for Arkansas A&M last week. I think this is another toss-up game this week.
Well, drat.
Their turnover rate on defense is what scares me. They make you turn the ball over a lot. And as we saw the last two games, that's kind of been our downfall.
Yeah, that's why we need JT Thor to handle the ball.
Yeah, it could be a lot like the A&M game because of their defense. I just kind of expected it. I'm going into it expecting it to look like that. And I mean, if we make some plays, it could be another a coin flip game, and we can win. So
maybe we just out hide them, because there's no way they're as tall as Auburn. Like,
there's not many teams out there that are this year.
I know Auburn's one of the tallest teams in the country now.
There, if I remember the Auburn Observer right, there are 9 teams that are taller than Auburn on average.
There was a year in Jeff Lebo's era where Auburn was the shortest team in Division 1A. Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember it well.
And Jeff Lebo was a coach for the UTC Mocs that Auburn hired for some reason.
It was a good hire. It was a good hire.
I liked a lot of aspects of Lebo. And honestly, his first team, starting center was 6'6 Quan Prowell, who had been a wing the year before. Nathan Watson was our power forward.
Yeah.
At 6'4.
He showed up. Yeah. He showed up with NCAA baggage. It had an open tryout for positions on the team on campus because they had not enough scholarships. They had open tryouts. And it was so bad that I sat courtside every game that year, my freshman year in 04, because nobody else was going to the games. And they weren't horrible. They weren't horrible.
I thought they were one of my favorite players to this day is Quantez Roberts.
Oh, for sure.
He wasn't very good, but he really, really, really played hard.
He led the conference in steals.
He did.
He's still playing, by the way.
I was going to say, he's in Germany, Crow.
For the Fraport. I saw him play for the Fraport Skyliners.
Did you?
He was one of my favorite players. Him and Frank Tolbert. Frank Tolbert, Frankie 12 Fingers was my favorite player. Because he had 12 fingers.
There was also a team where we ended up where Nate Watson was your best player on the team at one point, and that was not good. But that's Nate. That's my boy. But
all right. So on defense, Auburn's got the 91-ranked defense in the country versus Ole Miss's 91st-ranked offense. That matches up well. Ole Miss is a pretty good offensive rebounding team. I'm going to let Ryan say this. Ryan, how are they shooting threes?
Oh, they're awful. They're 28% on the year. We should have no problem.
Oh, no.
It's going to break. Guys, the only way to break a jinx is to break it, Chief. The only way to break a jinx is to break it.
This time.
Look, Auburn is a good three-point defense, too. We're keeping teams under 30%. That's good for 63rd in the country.
Doubling down, Ryan.
Yes,
I know.
We have length. Ryan. You got JT Thor that can guard the perimeter, and how do you shoot over that?
You can't. Oh. He's the size of a house.
Maybe we'll play 1-3-1 the whole game.
A house made out of wicker.
Man.
All right. Then Auburn goes and plays 36th-ranked in KenPom, Alabama Crimson Tide on ESPN2. This is the only time I've been worried about losing to this stupid team in years because they are riding a hot streak.
Guys, if Alabama's going to win at Auburn Arena, it's going to be this year. If they can't do it Saturday, I don't know if they can. This Alabama team, they showed on Saturday that they can play with anybody in the country. They went to Tennessee and knocked off the Vols, who, quite frankly, I thought were head and shoulders above everybody in the league. And John Petty did not miss from three. My hope is John Petty got all of his three-point shooting out of the way, and he won't be able to do that in Auburn Saturday. But it's a very inconsistent team, but there's so much talent, and there's so much talk preseason about how great they are, and then they go lose a couple non-conference games and – people are writing them off, but yeah, they're coming in hot. They play Florida on Tuesday night, so that's really going to be an interesting game. It'll be interesting to see how they match up there before they play Auburn on Saturday. But yeah, if this is what I'm concerned about too, for sure.
But they get up and down the court, which they're a fast team, and I think that helps Auburn in some ways. Like Auburn's better off against a team like that than they are against a team that wants to slow you down. Like A&M did, like Ole Miss is going to try to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Awful.
They better be careful, though. Saban might get the rules changed to slow them down a little bit. It's not safe for these athletes.
My hope is that Auburn runs them out of the gym with JT Thor scoring like 35. And this is the game where he really takes off as the Slim Reaper Kevin Durant clone that he might be. Or you know what? We don't need him to be – I know that Ferg talked about how he has the same dimensions as Giannis from a height and length standpoint. We don't need him to be Giannis. We just need to be like Thanasis, Giannis's brother. one of the other Antetokounmpos who's playing the NBA. If he could just be that good.
Is that one of those like minor Greek gods?
No, there's like
four. He kind of shows up with some stories.
No, but Giannis has like three other brothers, and they're all in the NBA or in the G League. Like, there's four Antetokounmpo brothers.
Who are this guy's parents?
I don't know.
Yeah, Zeus got busy again. And just...
We played one of them a couple of years ago because one of them went to Dayton.
Yes. Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Giannis was the first one to make it. And then the other guys, his brothers were like, oh, basketball, let's do that. Guess what? You're all good enough to go to play pro. So it's kind of like – it's not the same thing as Pau Gasol and then his brother playing for like Briarwood. Mark actually was incredible. He is incredible. And maybe better than Paul. This is more like your brother's incredible. You're super tall. Can you play on our G League team?
Yeah. Maybe you will also grow 3 inches after we draft you.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Javon Quinterly is interesting.
One of them having a kid and then we get them to like, lead a team? Or?
No, we just want JT Thor. We want JT Thor to love Auburn so much that his kids come to Auburn too. All right. Key player for Alabama. I want to talk about Javon Quinterly because if anybody can understand what Sharif Cooper's going through, because he went through the same thing, right? Like, they just didn't rule on him for the whole season.
Somewhat, yeah. Because he was at Villanova. He left Villanova after a year. And they waited quite a while to get a ruling on him. And eventually they ruled against him.
But not for, like, into a conference play or something crazy like that.
Yeah, it was like January. Yeah.
What a joke. The NCAA knows when these seasons start. Like, it didn't sneak up on him.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the Sharif. I want to say this. It's really funny to me how you haven't heard a whole lot of national media guys talk about the Sharif situation. You don't hear it from the ESPN guys, quite frankly.
No, they just tell you you're sitting there. Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they don't tell you why.
Yeah, if Sharif, but let me ask you this: if Sharif Cooper was at Duke or Kansas or Kentucky or any of these schools, you know darn well that every ESPN personality would be online every single day begging for them their eligibility to be cleared.
Or that, again, or that something happens.
Either. Yeah. I feel like several years ago, Enes Kanter not getting cleared at Kentucky was a much bigger story.
That's what I was going to bring up was Enes Kanter because he did a whole year too.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
And he literally played professional basketball in Turkey. That wasn't like a – there was no gray area. Yeah. The dude played pro basketball in Turkey.
Yeah. Is he the one that was like enemy of the president?
Currently, yes. He cannot go back. Yeah, he can't leave the country.
He and Erdogan are not friendly?
No, because he said, "Hey, Erdogan, you stink."
Yeah. Oh, so he didn't do a Mesut Ozil jink Tosin.
No, he's the opposite of Mesut Ozil.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've always thought when you could be the opposite of Mesut Ozil, you should be the opposite of Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't believe that's a real name.
Mesut Ozil is a Turkish-German player who plays for the German national team and does really well and then plays for Arsenal in the Premier League and does really poorly. So,
well, I do much of anything at all.
Yeah.
Does not play for them at all anymore.
Yeah. It's interesting because when he plays for the German national team, when they let him play for the German national team, he plays pretty well. But then he's kind of been blackballed because he came out in favor of the dictator in Turkey.
Well, just had his picture made with it. It is a weird thing. Anyway.
I can't wait for this podcast to be banned in Turkey. That's the name of this episode, Jack. Banned in Turkey.
I hear Istanbul's pretty cool.
I want to go to the restaurant, Barak's restaurant, my guy, that I share the tweets of all the time. All right. That's all I got. You guys got anything else you want to add in the podcast today besides pissing off third world dictators? Turkey's not third world.
No.
Turkey's a first world country.
Erdogan might be better than most of the people at the NCAA. So.
That's true. NCAA, you're worse than Erdogan.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't think Mike has anything to do with it. Erdogan has got a plan.
I'll get banned in Indianapolis. I don't care.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's like we're going to the Final Four this year, so who cares?
Say what you will about the tenets of Turkish nationalism, but at least it's an ethos, dude.
It's, you know, as we said on the article where we realized Sharif was not going to get cleared. Well, I'm not going to say it. It's just one of the greatest hits of NWA.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, with that, we're out of here. Let's hopefully we get Sharif back. For Ryan and Chief and Will and James, this is Son of Crow saying, have a War Eagle weekend.
Bonus.